Amancha, Hare Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I fall at the Lord's feet having taken this Mahamantra. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. So again, it's always certainly nice to hear about these great Vaishnavas, but it's also most important to hear directly from them. I think we were hearing the other day, Srila Prabhupada was commenting that of all the devotional processes, hearing is the most important. So hearing from these great exalted Vaishnavas is no doubt the way to make strong and steady spiritual advancement. So we're just going to say a few things about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur this morning. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born Kedarnath Datta, and he was born in a very prominent Kayastha family in Bengal. And his family was very well-to-do. They weren't lacking in material facility. So his life was, but his life from the very beginning was a bit challenging. It's described how he was a bit sickly, that he was prone to various illnesses. But all the while, he was very steady in his practice of Krishna consciousness, which is a very good lesson for us, because sometimes the body is giving some trouble, and it's very difficult to execute the process of Krishna consciousness. And seeing the example of such persons as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, despite all physical challenges, were very exemplary in their execution and their example. So his family was in a very auspicious lineage, being in the family of in the lineage of Narottam Das Thakur. So it sort of gives you a glimpse of him. Narottam Das Thakur, we know, was a very prolific writer, and we sing so many of his songs and read so many of his writings. So it seems that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also in that same line, that he was a very prolific writer and poet. He wrote thousands, actually it's described, no, hundreds, hundreds of poems and songs. It's described that he wrote 100 books. So despite his challenges in life, even again from an early age, he was very attracted to the process of Krishna consciousness, very attracted to chanting, as shown in his books and in these songs that we just read through, that he was very much attached to the holy name. And even as a young child, 4 or 5 years old, he was very attracted to the stories of Rama and Krishna and chanting. And in deference to what young kids normally do at that age, we typically, a child at that age wants to play all sorts of games. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even at an early age, he was inclined to hear about the pastimes of Rama and Krishna, and he would constantly be chanting. Although there's one instance where, as a young boy, he did play cricket, but he got hit in the head with the bat. So after that, he gave it up. So, but in general, as an example, he was interested and inclined to hear about the pastimes of Rama and Krishna. And the family used to have one security guard in the evening, and Kedarnath would take the opportunity to speak to him periodically, because he noticed that this guard, he's always chanting. So he would meet with him in the evening. He would get up in the evening, just in the middle of the night. He would rise and go and find this gentleman who was guarding the property, and they would sit and they would talk. And he noticed that this fellow was always chanting, so he asked him why. And the guard explained to him that in his previous occupation, he had been a dacoit. And dacoits, we know, are robbers and thieves, and they do so many things. Well, on one of his robberies, one of his escapades, he happened to chop the head off of his guru. So from that point on, that guard would always chant Rama and Krishna. He would always be chanting the name of Ram, with the idea of being protected from engaging in... He gave up his sinful life and took up this occupation as a guard. And from that point on, he would always just chant. And he explained to little Kedarnath that this chanting protects one from all danger, all fear, and ghosts. So he was very keen on that, and he would, from then on, was very careful about always chanting. Although he was a sickly boy, as we mentioned, he was very astute in school. He was very very good at his studies, and would get many certificates of appreciation from the teachers. But he didn't like to go to school. So he would sometimes take castor oil purposely to get sick so that he wouldn't have to go to class. And or that he would purposely do certain things to allow his to have his mother allow him to stay home. But still, he was very learned all the while, and was very good and got many recommendations. As he got a little bit older, it's described that at the age of 12, his mother arranged for his wedding. It was an arrangement where the young girl, literally young, she was 5 years old. But by astrological calculations, they could figure out that this couple was a very good match, and that was the fact. They stayed together throughout life. And because Kedarnath was still too young, he instead moved in with his in-laws, and he lived with them for a number of years until eventually he went off to college. At the age of 18, he went to the University of Calcutta, and there began again his, or continued with his studies, and was very learned in both East and Western philosophy. He studied the Bible very carefully, the Quran, the Vedic literatures, and that's again it manifests in the preaching that he did later on in life. One of the three significant things that Bhaktivinoda contributed to the Vaishnav culture and history is that he was an innovator. He was very innovative in his preaching techniques and tactics, as shown by his translating literatures and having them sent overseas, which was totally unheard of during that time. So he was very absorbed in preaching, even though he was going through studies and he had to deal with the Sepoy rebellion. There was a very very turbulent time in the mid 1800s. It was about 1860 or so. Very turbulent time in India when the Indian the army at that time was predominantly Indian nationals, and the government, British government, was trying to enforce certain rules, and one of them was that the bullets that were used for the muskets were coated with beef and pork, and in order to load your rifle, you would have to bite off the edge, right? Bite off the end, and then you load it into your into the carbine. There was a lot of political activity going on during that time, and a lot of revolt. So the Muslims and the Hindus, we can't do this. This is against our teaching. So there was a big revolt during that time period, and still Bhaktivinoda Thakur was able to keep himself at a distance, even though hundreds were killed, actually, hundreds throughout India. There was a slaughter on both sides, a big, big turmoil. But somehow or other, he was able to keep himself aloof from that and was given a received a letter from his grandfather, his paternal grandfather, who lived in Orissa at the time, in Puri, or just outside of Puri. And he requested that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you leave Bengal and you come to Orissa and you come and stay with me. This grandfather was a very exalted personality in his own right. It's described that he could forecast many things. One, of course, was his death, his passing. So he told, he asked Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you come to Orissa, you come and stay with me. And so the Thakur went with his family, they moved there to Orissa, and stayed with his grandfather. His grandfather gave him one very, very interesting blessing. He told him that whatever you're doing at the age of 28, whatever occupation you're engaged in at the age of 28, you will continue for the rest of your life, and you will become very successful. And it just so happened at that time that the Thakur was very absorbed in his writings, very absorbed in his writings, and that's when he got his first position in the government. As a government worker. And we see that that continued throughout his whole life until he retired in his mid-50s. The Thakur went to Puri. He stayed there for some time and engaged in various governmental positions. He was a clerk, a tax collector, a junior magistrate. Then eventually he became the chief magistrate for the Puri temple, Jagannath temple. There was some interesting fighting going on between government officials. The British government was the ruling government at the time still. And there was some interesting fighting going on between the politicians, that one was asking for the Thakur to come here, another was asking to go there. They were all trying to get him to come to their places to engage in some work, which was a testament to his character. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, throughout his whole life, was of exemplary character. He was very, very honest, very truthful, and very precise in his work, which is, again, something that's totally lacking in modern present society, that the leaders are totally untruthful and immoral and simply cheaters. So the Thakur was such a sound personality that all these different government officials, they were trying to secure him for a position. But he had this position offered to him there at the Jagannath Puri temple, which he was inclined to because it offered him also an opportunity to continue with his writings, which he was very much focusing on. And one interesting thing, we've heard this many a time, is the incident with Bishop Shane. This bogey yogi that was living just outside of Puri. As soon as the Thakur came to Puri, immediately he had to start dealing with all sorts of cheaters and charlatans. Even he had to deal with the Raj of Puri, who stole money. He stole money from the deity's coffers for his own personal use. When the Thakur found this out, he penalized him by telling him that you have to cook so many offerings and such items every single day for a certain period of time. That was his punishment. So the Raj, as he was cooking, his purse eventually ran out. Right, he ran out of money, and at this point, he became very agitated at the Thakur. So, what did he do? He schemed to have him assassinated. So, what he did was he went to some brahmanas, and he arranged for some fire yajna to be performed. And so these priests, they were performing this fire yajna, and they were going on and on for a whole month's time. And at the end of the month, they were to chant a certain mantra to conclude the yajna. And with that mantra, the Thakur was to die. So, but when they chanted the mantra, instead what happened was that the Rajas, the king's son, died. And at this, the Raj could understand what a kind of offense they had committed against such a great saint and servant of Jagannath. So from the get-go, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to deal with so many challenges. This personality, Bishop Shane, was a great, powerful yogi. He was in a line of Mayavadis called the Badaharis? Was it? I think it was called the Badaharis. They were started by a yogi by the name of Jagannath Das, who was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told this Jagannath, you go to Haridas Thakur and you take instruction from him. You follow him. But Jagannath, he instead started adopting all sorts of Mayavadi thoughts and broke off. And this is how it became known as the Atiharis. And this Bishop Shane happened to be in that same line. So this Bishop Shane, he advertised himself as Mahavishnu. And he was living in the jungle. He had one temple there and so many villagers and naive people would come and they would offer him some service or they would worship him. And he had some yogic potency, no doubt. He would be able to cure certain people of certain diseases. And sometimes he would shoot sparks out of his hair. So this would frighten your typical villager person. But the Thakur knew that this was some cheating going on here. And when it was heard, when it was found out that this Bishop Shane would have the villagers and even different kings in different villages or kingdoms, they would send women to him and he would pollute them. So when the Thakur heard this, he called for the arrest. It was brought to the central government. The central government didn't want to deal with it because it was so sensitive. So they told the Thakur, you go and take care of this matter. So the Thakur went to Bishop Shane, and Bishop Shane welcomed him. Why are you here? And the Thakur told him, I'm here to see you. Okay, well, please come and sit down. And so the yogi began talking and espousing his nonsense philosophy. But the Thakur asked him, if you're Mahavishnu, why are you living here in the village? You should be in the Jagannath temple where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. And the yogi said, no, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is not there in that place. He's just some wooden figure. And when the Thakur heard this, he became very, very aggravated, very agitated. So he left, and again, this yogi was continuing with his cheating activities. He had two associates who called themselves Brahma and Shiva, and they would they would assist him in his cheating practices. And again, when all of this it was just increasing by the day. So again, the Thakur ordered that we need to go and arrest this person. So they went to grab him, and Bishop Shane told them that I'm not going anywhere. I'm the Personality of Godhead. And then he started shooting sparks out of his hair, and his eyes became very red and threatening. And when the soldiers and assistants saw this, they were all afraid. They all would run away. But the Thakur was determined. He had a bullock cart brought, and as the cart was coming, he was speaking to the yogi, preaching to him that you shouldn't, you have to correct your cheating ways, and was trying to basically calm the gentleman down. And eventually the cart came, and the yogi relented. Okay, well, I'll go with you. I could burn the whole planet up, but because you're asking, I'm going to go. And at this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur just simply laughed and said, very good. When we get to the temple, to the jailhouse, then you can burn everyone up. Then you can exhibit your universal fire. So they loaded him into the cart, and they took him off to jail. And of course, he had many followers. Thousands of people would come, and they were complaining, "This is a travesty. You can't lock this person up. He's a great personality." But the Thakur ignored. And even though he was threatened by Bishop Shane, some illness happened to his family and himself, still the declaration was there that this Bishop Shane, because he's such a cheater, he should be imprisoned for some time. I can't remember exactly. I think it was 3 months or 6 months or something like that. And to hard labor. At this, the yogi again protested like anything. But before he could do anything, one of the Thakur's assistants came behind him and cut off his hair. Because he had read that the yogis, they sometimes keep their potencies locked up into their hair. So he cut off the yogi's hair, and at that, Bhishakshain fell to the ground. They took him to the jailhouse, and he was there for just a short time, 2-3 months or something like that. And he ended up taking poison and committing suicide. So after that, the Thakur had to deal again with so many different types of people. One incarnation of Balaram. There were so many other avatars that were coming and espousing their Mayavadi and nonsense ideas. But he was very very fixed in his work and continued writing all the while. There's some very interesting descriptions about his daily life and how he would rest only 3 to 4 hours daily. Go to sleep at 8 p.m., get up at 10, begin his writing, and he would write until 4 a.m. And then he would take, again, some rest for a short time, then continue get prepared for his daily work. He would go to the office. At that time, he was a magistrate. So he would go to the court, and in a fraction of the time that it would typically it took, it's described three times longer for your magistrate to hear all the cases and give decisions, etc. But the Thakur, in a third of the time, he would conduct his court duties, and then come home, again refresh himself, and again begin his writing. As we mentioned earlier, there were three important things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is noted for contributing, and that was his books and writings. A very prolific writer. And his discovery of the Yogapith, which he did after his retirement. At the age of 56, he retired from his government service and focused on his preaching work, and wanted to take a spiritual master. and focus on his preaching work. So at that time he met, Bipin Bihari, and took initiation from him. So writing his books, discovering the Yoga Pit, and his innovative preaching techniques, all of these things were especially relevant or exemplified by him. Srila Prabhupada writes, in conclusion, I just wanted to read one simple thing here that Srila Prabhupada said in 1969, that one devotee asked, or was quoting what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, that he had not finished his work. And Srila Prabhupada at that said, his response was that we are descendants of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Was kept unfinished. That work was kept unfinished so that we should get the chance to finish it. Which is very, very important and eerily sort of very maybe coincidentally, Srila Prabhupada also said something along that line, that he hadn't finished his work. So we have an opportunity in this Krishna consciousness movement to not only help Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in finishing his mission in this Krishna consciousness movement, but we also have an opportunity to finish what Srila Prabhupada began, it's important for us on such days to pray to such personalities and get their mercy, that we can be given the strength and intelligence to complete these missions. So we'll just end there. Any questions or comments? Anything further? Yes, Prabhu. Never took, he took Diksha. He took Diksha from Jagannath Das Babaji. And that's it. Yeah. Just Diksha. And the two of them joined to find or discover the Yoga Peet. That was after his retirement from government work. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura ki jai.